A division Washington's been owning here over the last couple of months, and still division leaders, your Washington Commanders. Down toward the bottom of the division, ahead of the Giants, is the 3-4 Dallas Cowboys. Let's check in on what is ailing the boys. And one of the guys we like to talk to down in Dallas about the Cowboys is Nui Scruggs, NBC5 Dallas, Fort Worth. So, Nui, let's just start with 3-4. I mean, what is the temperature in Dallas right now?
Temperature's bad. Look, they can't run the ball. They're dead last in the league in rushing, 74 yards a game. And when it comes up to the run, you know, only two teams give up more rushing yards than the Cowboys. So if you can't run it, you can't stop it. And the other team is controlling the ball for 32 minutes and seconds a game. That's a recipe for disaster, because that means your weak defense is on the field for a full half and a two-minute difference.
What's going to happen when Micah Parsons comes back? Like, how much difference will it make, if any?
None, because they still can't stop the run. Micah Parsons ain't Joe Green.
And scene. I'll take it. I believe you.
I believe you is funny. Have they had problems getting to the quarterback or anything that he will improve? I mean, I'd imagine getting a DPOY back on your defense is still going to elevate the club.
So here's the thing that folks got to go back and realize. What made the Cowboys good the last 3 years is their offense was good at getting a lead and they were playing ahead. And so when you're playing ahead, that makes teams one-dimensional. So, hey, go get the pass. That's not what's been happening. And you go and you look at how are the Cowboys losing games the past couple of years when they were losing five games. It was against teams who could run the football at them and neutralize their pass. And so getting Micah Parsons back, it'll help. But what he does best is rush the passer. Ain't much rushing you can do when you get whooped upside the head. And that's what's been happening in the three Cowboy home losses here. So I just think anybody, oh, here comes Micah Parsons and here comes all-pro cornerback Deron Bland. It still starts up front. They can't stop the run, nor can they run the football. There's no magic fixes coming around here. This is not a good team. They can't beat good teams. They could beat a Giants. You know, they could beat a team like Cleveland, which, you know, right now it's going to mean they're going to miss the playoffs and probably be drafting, you know, like in 14, 15, 16 area range.
And the Cowboys have lost two in a row. They got blown out by the Lions and then beaten by San Francisco with an extra week to prepare out of the bye. They've lost 4 out of 6, to your point. And the wins are squeakers here over the last month and a half against the Giants and the Steelers, a couple of offensively challenged teams at the time that Dallas played them. What about Dak? You know, watching them the other day, Dak struggled a little bit. He's got 10 touchdowns, 8 picks, completing a little over 60% of his passes. How good is he playing right now?
Not playing good. And then you start to ask yourself this. Let's look at what's around him. Offensive line isn't good this year. I mean, Hall of Famer Zach Martin is having his worst season. Looked like a guy who talked about this could be his last year. He's playing like it. The offensive line. Oklahoma, he's faced a murderer's row of pass rushers. He's been bad. Your running backs, my gosh. I mean, you talk about Ezekiel Elliott. They just promoted Dalvin Cook up from the practice squad last week. Nobody's scared of those guys. Rico Dowdle would be a third running back on most teams. On most teams, he'd be the third running back that you cut at the end of training camp and hope to get him back on the roster. That's what the Cowboys are playing with there. And outside of CeeDee Lamb, there's no wide receivers that are going to sit up here and make you say, oh boy, watch out for him. You're not scared of Jalen Tolbert. Brandon Cooks has been hurt. You're not scared of Kevontae Turpin. So if Dak is not sitting up here playing with a roster like, let's say, Jared Goff has got, good offensive line, Amon-Ra St. Brown at receiver, Sam LaPorta at tight end, and two good running backs. He doesn't have what that guy has in Detroit.
What's the Mike McCarthy vibe at this point? How are folks feeling about him? And I mean, I'm thinking of one folk in particular named Jerry Jones, but just in general, fans, what's the pulse on McCarthy?
You know what? The owner's never done the head coach a bunch of favors around there. Even when he kept Dan Quinn, you know, he openly talked about his love for Dan Quinn. So Mike is on a one-year deal. The whole coaching staff's on a one-year deal. It just makes things tough, uneasy. Dudes are going to start looking for jobs here. So he's never done Mike any favors. So, look, if I'm Mike McCarthy, the guy's top 20 in wins. He's won more football games than John Harbaugh, won more football games than Sean Payton in his career. He'll lose his job, his contract's up. He'll go somewhere else and work, and he'll be fine because you won't have to worry about the owner having a press conference when you're trying to do your press conference after a game or going and spilling trade secrets on a radio show during the week. So, you know, this thing could end for Mike, and I think he may be A-OK by.
How much do they miss Dan Quinn?
Not as much as people think. I mean, I love DQ, but here comes the thing. That the carpenter's tools, Dan Quinn took all the depth with him. So if Dan Quinn was coaching this defense and all the players left, he wouldn't be any better than Mike Zimmer. This thing is still about players. And that's not a smudge of DQ at all. I love DQ. He's a good dude, and he was a really good coach. But DQ took the depth. And the fact of them trying to pay other dudes, they couldn't bring other guys in. And then Aiden Dirty, who was a defensive line coach, became Seattle's defensive coordinator. He took a piece with him as well. So now this thing is still about players.
Speaking of those players, is there levels of frustration? Are guys like lashing out a little bit? I saw one local reporter newsman, and I think it was Trayvon Diggs yelling at each other. I guess they made up
today,
which sounds
good.
He
brought him a can of peanuts.
Which I guess is nice, but what's going on there? What are the players saying? How are they feeling?
Trayvon Diggs just got lured into a social media post from a guy who's always looking for clicks. That's what happened there. I was the one who actually filmed that got 4 million views. I was right there.
Oh, that was
love
you.
Yeah, that was me. The problem there for Diggs, and this has been a problem when Dez Bryant was here, Cole Beasley, you got dudes who go in the locker room who get on their phone after games. And, you know, not exactly the most mentally, the thing you should be doing mentally after a game that you've lost is get on your phone and worry about what people say. But, you know, this is what these guys are today. And for Diggs to come out of the locker room and do that, like, man, you can't do that. But he played it perfectly today. Like a WWE character, you come out here, he had a press conference, he answered all the questions, he was very upfront. And then, of course, he breaks out the can of D's nuts and he gives it to the reporter and just said, hey, man, we're cool. But this just shows you, and I talked to Rodney Harrison and Coach Tony Dungy afterwards about this in San Francisco. This just shows that you're not mentally where you need to be, making the main thing. And that's a problem around here. But that also starts with the owner, who doesn't always make the main thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's hard to get upset at the player.
The apple doesn't fall or something like that.
About 2 weeks ago, Jerry Jones is angry about really reasonable questions on his weekly paid radio appearance, threatening to fire guys he's not in charge of. Newey, thank you. We appreciate you.
Guys, have a good day now.
See you, buddy.
Got it. He was fired up.
Shot out of a cannon. Love
he
it.
Was, yeah, he was salty about the Dallas Cowboys. I would be, too. They're not very good. And he said that. That's a bad football team. All right, let's keep the blitz of the East going. Next stop, Philadelphia, the most likely team to win the division, according to ESPN's analytics department today. The Eagles are nipping at the heels of Washington. They're a half game back, 5-2. Pretty impressive record considering they really haven't played their best football. Last time out, the Eagles looked very good against the Bengals, all really in the second half. They were down, looked like they were destined to lose in that game, and then they won 37-17. So don't look now, Danny, but a 20-point win over Cincinnati, a 25-point win over the Giants. They have gotten right since Nick Sirianni was yelling at fans after a 4-point squeaker over.
I was going to say, remember, everything is swirling, right? You've got Saquon Barkley dropping a ball that he would catch a billion times out of a billion to cost them a game against the Falcons. You got Nick Sirianni, even after a win, yelling at people. They dealt with the injuries to A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith and company. You know, Dallas Goedert's nursing stuff, it seems like all the time and always. Jalen Hurts not playing his best football. And you look up and they're 5-2. You'd trade that, right? With all the problems and all the issues, here they are with a soft schedule out of the bye week. We talked about this when they were 2-2 after a bad loss to Tampa. Not bad because you lost to Tampa. Tampa's pretty good, but they weren't competitive in that game. They got blown out 33-16. Since the bye week, you escape against Cleveland. You beat the brakes off the Giants. You win by 20 against the Bengals. Now you got a good spot with the Jaguars. You look up, they're very easily 6-2, just like Washington. You go 500 the rest of the way, that's a 10-win team, which, you know, given everything the way they started, you might take that.
They'll beat the brakes off Jacksonville. I think they probably beat Dallas, and that could set up what will be a really entertaining game against Washington. They'll be 7-2 coming in. The Commanders, let's say at that point, could be 6-2, 1-1, 7-3. So that's a first place game hosting Washington in prime time on November the 14th, and we would be there for that game.
Indeed, we would. Indeed
in the we stands, would. I think.
Yeah.
At Lincoln Financial Field?
Wearing flak jackets.
I'm not thrilled about the in-the-stands part of that.
Yeah.
But here we go.
Here we go.
The Eagles. But you have, I don't want to say you've been on them. You've liked them more than I have for much of the season.
Yeah.
You always point out that they, you know, they could have beat Atlanta. And I'm like, yeah, they could have lost to Green Bay. Like, it's gone both ways for them.
Of course.
They lost that game to the Bucs. I guess they, you know, that one they got blown out. The Saints one's the one they won.
Yeah.
They could have easily lost
that. Probably should have lost it.
But here's the facts. It doesn't matter anymore. Like, you're on to something. They're 5-2, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They got here. They might have just gotten through the worst part of their season. If they're good, they have.
Right. So maybe not in terms of schedule-wise, the most difficult part, but they got through it in terms of the turmoil part. Right. And think about what they were carrying from last year. There was all sorts of extra eyes and spotlights and how embarrassing is this and what a collapse and we're changing the coaching staff. New OC, new everything pretty much. Everything but Sirianni is new. Let's figure something out. And now they start off poorly. He's yelling at people. A lot of animosity. But again, now they're 5-2. So it seems like you're in an era of good feelings and it helps to have an easy part, a soft part of your schedule there right in the middle.
Jacksonville 405 at home on Sunday for Philadelphia. A win and they are 6-2. Keeps a little pressure on the Commanders as they are 6-2, looking for 7-2 against the Giants. Of course, the big storyline this week, Doug Peterson, the former head coach, led the Eagles to a Super Bowl, coming back to Philadelphia with Jacksonville. That is a bad Jaguars team, though.
They're bad.
They have won two of their last four, so I guess they're trending up. But on the season, they're now 2-6 under Doug Peterson.
The most impressive game of the year. This past weekend, probably. They gave Green Bay all they could possibly handle. I think it's their first non-London game, numbers approximate. They always play in London. They just, like, stay there for months at a time and just love playing in London for whatever that is.
They had a two-week stretch there. Yeah. They were back home this past week in Jacksonville. All right, let's keep it moving. Let's talk about the New Yorkers. The Giants are pulling up the rear in the division. The only thing I would say that's notable about the Giants in the last couple of weeks is that their owner has come out, Mara, saying he does not expect to make any major changes. They think Joe Shane, the general manager, will last the season and will be back next year. And Brian Daboll, the head coach, will last the season and be back next year. I don't think that was a bad thing for him to come out and say right now. You can always change your mind if things go really badly the rest of the way. But I also think they've done enough, probably. There's enough progress being shown that those guys are worthy of having around for one more year. Unless you just want to hold the Daniel Jones decision against them and blow them out for that.
Yeah, my axiom is always, this is not an offense that's talented enough to be in the top five, the top 10, the top whatever. But you can't be the worst. You can't be where they are. And they had their best offensive showing, I thought, against a really good defense this past week against Pittsburgh. They moved the football against a really good Steelers defense for almost 400 yards.
Let's get the lowdown on the Giants from Charlotte Carroll of The Athletic. Joining us on Grant and Danny. What did you make of Mara's decision to come out and say that not only are Shane and Daboll going to survive the season, but he anticipates them being in their roles next year as well?
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me on. I think the key word there is anticipate. I mean, he wasn't going to say publicly he's going to fire them midseason, but then anticipate kind of leaves some leeway for some room for things to happen after the season. But for right now, they've got jobs. And I have to give the coaching staff and the GM some confidence.
Did they find something against Pittsburgh here? I know the point totals weren't outrageous, but I think that Steelers defense has some, you know, pretty significant pelts on the wall. Really impressive, I thought, how the Giants moved the football for almost 400 yards.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a weird game. There was so many things that were happening watching that. And the offense was playing well, but they just kept hurting themselves. So I think that's the key here is there were just so many self-inflicted penalties, so many just sloppy plays. So that's what I'll be watching to see what they clean up this next week.
Daniel Jones, grade for this season so far?
Back in school. I don't know, C. It's been rough. Apologies. The door is slamming. Love that at the facility, making random noises. True noise of the season, but I'd go see. He's had some really high moments where he's looked very confident, but then he's had some really bad, poor performances. So it's just been very inconsistent and hard to evaluate.
So Grant and I were actually arguing about this a bit yesterday. I still think this Giants defense is good. The overall numbers don't necessarily bear that out, but I still feel like that's a group that can give you some problems, most specifically Dexter Lawrence in the middle. But I still think this Giants defense is good. Are they?
No, I'm with you. I think they are. It's the run defense where things get concerning, and that's where their big weakness has been. But as a whole, they've been a strong group, and they were really consistent coming into this Pittsburgh game.
So Washington could be in a situation here where left tackle could be a problem. They're down to their third left tackle this past week in Trent Brown, as of today, and we're still a long ways from Sunday against the Giants in the Meadowlands, but Cornelius Lucas, who splits time at left tackle, didn't practice. Brandon Coleman's just barely coming back from this concussion. And the third tackle's not a guy that you want out there against a really decent edge pass rush. Is that something that you would think the Giants could take advantage of and could be a game-changing situation? Like, what's Brian Burns been up to? How's he playing?
Yeah, no, it definitely is. We saw that in Philly, actually, or again, in the Philly matchup, where both left tackles, both teams were out. It was the first game without Andrew Thomas. So the Eagles obviously exploited that matchup. And then just as they exploited without the Eagles, without Melata being there, so that was key. So it definitely makes sense that they'll game plan around that and can use that to the benefit. And I think that works in the Giants' favor. Then the Commanders, I'm sure, are also planning for left tackle deficiencies on the Giants' offense. So I think we might see a repeat a little bit of that Eagles game from that perspective.
Big pass rush game, yeah. Malik Nabers is obviously incredible, having great numbers here throughout his rookie year. I do feel like, and I'm thinking back to the Washington game this past week, there always seems to be one, are you kidding me, dude, drop in there from him. Right, where you're too good to drop. Like, he makes some of those spectacular Beckham-style catches and then always seems to have a huge drop when it really matters the most. You know, just sort of, you know, part and parcel maybe with dealing with a rookie. But what have coaches, what has he said about something like that?
Yeah, we haven't spoken to him this past week yet. We'll get him back kind of tomorrow. And he, you know, is coming off a concussion. He's played two games since he came back from that. So it was just kind of something to see. And he had a big drop, obviously, this past week. So I think that's something to monitor. It's kind of like the one flaw to his game so far is that not necessarily obviously drops are to be expected with the amount of targets he was getting, but that they've come in really key moments and not that he shies away from them. He's very competitive. So I think that is something to watch. And I'll be curious to kind of see what he says about that. And I have to refresh what he's talked about in the past with it.
Charlotte, good information. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for putting up with the noise of the Giants.
Oh, no,
no worries. Not at all.
I'm trying to find a closet to talk in.
No, I have been there and done that on the beat. It is not fun. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
That was always difficult. Whenever I would go on with LeVar and Chad or whoever it was, like, there's so much stuff going on around you. You're trying to find somewhere quiet. Maybe it's raining or it's cold or you can't go outside for whatever reason. And the noises, it's the worst. But appreciate her grinning and bearing it there and getting through it for us. Sunday, Meadowlands, Commanders Giants, next stop for Washington in their quest to continue to shock everybody all over the NFL. Has the first half of the season reinvigorated your fandom at all? I want to pass along a story from the Caps game last night when I was talking to some DC sports fans. I want to see if it resonates with anybody else. We'll do that next. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 on GND. World Series action tonight. That's about all I'm excited about on the sports front. The Hawks and the Wizards do play as well. That's a 7 o'clock tip at Cap One Arena. And the Wizards just beat Atlanta.
They did.
Maybe a chance to get to 2-2, although I don't love their chances. No Kyle Kuzma tonight. He was pretty critical in their win over Atlanta last time out.
It was fantastic the other night. They were figuring out a way to have him and Poole, you know, Jordan Poole's hand on the ball, so Kuzma wasn't as involved for his couple games, but he was splendid the other night.
I'll watch some of that for sure.
Yeah. I just want to see the kids, man.
You got to see what Bub Carrington's up to, how George looks, how Alex Saar looks. So I will definitely check in on the Wiz tonight. Locally, World Series, nationally. It's the best time of the year for sports.
Mm-hmm.
Got the kids ready to dress up for Halloween tomorrow. They're doing like a trunk or treat. They're doing this really fun thing over at Annandale High School tomorrow with a bunch of, you know, cars pulling up with candy, so that's easy. And then we're going to do the neighborhood trick-or-treat. They're fired up. They were carving pumpkins today at the house. I was unable to do it. I was a little bummed out.
Mm.
I got to say, we waited till the last minute, so they did it without me.
How did the carving go? For us, it usually goes almost 14 or 15 seconds before they don't want to do this anymore, and then they abandoned the pumpkin, like, barely even touched.
So my wife basically said something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
She said it sounded like a fun time for everyone, and they really were into it, really wanted to do it, and then they just decided, actually, this isn't fun.
Yeah, this is hard.
I don't want to do it.
Well, your wife is so artistic and so good at whatever that is.
Yeah.
That, like, I'd almost rather have that. Because now the pumpkins are going to look great, and you can give each kid credit.
Well, but she's not doing her own thing on the pumpkins, right? She's not going to, like, carve out the – she could do some – beautiful.
Something
thing.
Amazing, yeah.
The kids are going to draw on the pumpkin what they want cut, and then she cuts their line, so it's their drawing.
Oh,
basically.
I see.
But yeah, as soon as they touch the goo that's in the pumpkin, they're done.
No, that's it for me.
As soon as they see that inside the pumpkin there's something that isn't fun to have on your hand, they're completely out.
Yep.
That's kind of where they are on that.
Smell what you're cooking. Yeah, it's one of those, like, better in theory than it is in actual practice. But you have to do it because it's what you do.
Has the first half of this Commander season reinvigorated your fandom in any way? And how is your fandom evolving as the season goes on? I ask this because in a story that unfolded last night that almost felt like I'm making it up, I met this guy at the Caps game who told me that he has pretty much been the better part of out for going on 20 years. That for the last 20 years, his fandom's faded more and more and more to the point where you just stop going to games, you stop paying for things and, you know, looking for merchandise. He would even kind of casually stop watching games. And then he said on Sunday after the Hail Mary, he bought he and his son Jaden Daniels jerseys. He's like, I am excited. I cannot wait for the game. I don't know when the last time was that I said that, but I keep looking forward to Sunday. I cannot wait for Sunday. And this was a grown person. I don't know how old, you know, probably 60-something if I had to guess. Not really sure. At a kid who was out of college who was at the hockey game with last night. But I can't imagine this person's alone. And we've talked a lot about the fracturing fan base, the dissipating tent, so to speak, in terms of how many people are under the tent still being fans of this team.
Yep.
There are some diehards, some of the callers that we've had into Grant and Danny over the years that were watching every game every Sunday that are probably rocking, you know, in their closet. They've got jerseys of Taylor Heinicke when it was really bad, or a few years before that, they've got Jamison Crowder jerseys or whatever that stuck it out, and they've been through this the entire time. But I do wonder, and I want to take inventory on people that find themselves coming back. I know that I will say without hopefully putting too much of his fandom business out there, my brother was a guy who pretty much checked out pre-name change or right around then, but it really didn't have much to do with the name change, I don't think. It was a Dan Snyder thing.
Yeah.
It was, there's enough straws that broke the camel's back that this isn't fun for me anymore. He had young kids that have activities, and it was just, I'm not going to keep making this a priority. It's not healthy for me. I don't get any enjoyment out of it. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is a big deal, and that's perfectly fine. But he is all the way back in. His kids got a Jaden Daniels jersey. He's buying the Commanders hats and lids and all kinds of stuff. And he's texting me the other day, like, "What? Where's the post-game show? How do I watch the, you know, the post-game show?" And I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of funny.
It's funny you made bring that up.
There isn't one. Yeah. You might want to turn on 106.7 The Fan. But he's back in. I just think there are a lot of people that have to be coming around because they're the elite offense. They're one of the best teams offensively in the sport, one of the best teams, most fun teams to watch. And right now, by way of record and standings, they're one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, I was one of the last dudes in my group of buddies that I grew up with, that I've been friends with for decades, right, who still gave a damn. Everyone else had moved on. They're doing everything that you're talking about for your brother, whether it's kids' activities or playing golf or doing something else with their Sunday. They're like, I'm not going to be miserable. I'm not doing this anymore. And our whole world revolved around whatever we did. It didn't matter. We got together on Sunday to watch the stupid football team, even when they were bad, but just because we had tasted it. All of the guys my age, we all lived through that 91 team. We all saw the parade and out for the 87 team. We did it. They hooked us forever, or so we thought. They all got driven away. Apropos of this, we didn't talk about doing this specific. I didn't know you were going to run into that guy last night at the Caps game. I got a voicemail. One of my best buddies who's lived in Massachusetts for years called me up. I couldn't answer the call because I was getting my kids ready for school, but he left me this lengthy voicemail where he's basically like, dude, I just want to ask you, can I believe again? Is it okay? Like, is my heart going to be broken?
Such a funny voice.
I played the message for you. And like, he's such a caring, like, wonderful dude. He's like, I just couldn't do this. I couldn't do it. I'm like, I have so much going on. Life is so hard. This wasn't adding to any enjoyment. But he's like, I'm watching it. I'm going, I feel again. I'm buying the stupid team names gear. Like, I can't stop. I'm in again. Am I going to get my heart broken? We had a conversation about it today for about an hour. Like, it is a real phenomenon. After that Hail Maryland or Hail Daniels or screw you Tyreek Stevenson play, whatever, the texts flying around groups that the last time we texted was a then Redskins game like 14 years, not that long ago, almost 10 years ago in 2016. Like, that was the same group that was talking then, revitalized after almost a decade because of that play. It's happening.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Do you notice anything changing about how you feel about the team? You're interested in watching the games, going to games? Is that happening already halfway through this season? Or are you still at a point where you need to see more, where it's going to take a little longer? Owen's out in Ashburn on G&D. What's up, Owen?
Hey, Grant. Hey, yeah, I think we saw about all we needed to see. Me and my buddies, you know, we were there watching the Hail Mary. And, you know, there's magic. You know, there's something happening. You know, Jaden has that factor. So after we saw that, we saw the Bear fans pack away. We took ourselves over to the store and got ourselves a couple new jerseys, kept the tags on, and I think you found us on that picture.
Oh, is that you guys?
Oh, man.
Dude, that's us. That
no
tweet
way.
Is going wild.
So did all did any of the four of you already have a Jaden Daniels jersey when the day started, or were they all brand new?
So three of them were bare new. One of them he had just gotten the day before for his birthday.
So it was old. It was like an old hat, that
that's
jersey.
That's so
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
Dude, so you guys walked like right in front of me, and I'm like, you guys were like matching. You could just tell that the Daniels jerseys were like pristine. And then you're all holding like your Fanatics bags, and I'm like,
had the hanger marks on them.
This image isn't perfect for what just happened in this city. I mean, that euphoria. So you watch the Hail Mary, you're jumping up and down, hugging. You go straight to the
take
team store.
Take my money.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it was like, yeah, my buddy Steven, he just goes, I've got $150. This is it. This is worth it. This is happening. So,
that's
you know,
perfect.
And those ladies there working there, they drive a hard bargain. You know, they're like, you're going to get it now because it's going to be a $200 jersey come to Christmas.
Right.
It's like, no question, no doubt. You know, there's absolutely no reason we're leaving without these jerseys.
That's hilarious.
Phenomenal.
Well done.
And you got to love it. Yeah, you got to absolutely love
but
it.
But let me ask you this. Did you own any Commanders gear before that? Were you like a holdout? Were you not really sold?
No, or? Yeah, we had some WFT Heinicke jerseys. I think I've got a Fitzpatrick WFT.
Oh.
We've got the Taylors. I've got a LeVar Arrington, a Chris Cooley. Yeah, I mean, I was underneath that jersey. I actually had a Daryl Green from my buddy.
Love it.
And, yeah, I mean, we came out. I think another one of my friends, Matt, he was wearing a McLaurin jersey. So we came out in all different shapes and forms, every other name, right? So
that's awesome. Well, that was cool. And I'm glad that I don't know if we tracked you down. You came to us, but I'm glad I got to chat
that's
with
funny.
You. That's funny. For sure. Thank you, Owen. For those of you that haven't seen, you can check my Twitter at Grant H. Paulson. But yeah, that picture, I think, like, was everywhere. I mean, it's wild how many people found that as entertaining as I did, but it was right after the Hail Mary, and it was pretty clear.
Still had the hanger marks on it and everything, yeah.
The tag hanging out the back.
Uh-huh.
They were ready to take to the streets in their Jaden Daniels gear. But that kind of goes part and parcel with what I'm talking about with this guy last night. He was embarrassed to admit it. He said, kind of got quiet, and he's like, I don't even want to say this, but I bought a jersey right after the game.
Uh-huh.
And his son was like, yeah, you bought me one. We both, you know, you it was your idea. You know what I'm saying? And it was like,
yep,
we got Jaden Daniels jerseys.
It's like we fell for it.
You know how many people did? You think you're alone? I mean, the black one you cannot find anywhere. My buddy texted me last night. He's been trying to find the black Jaden Daniels jersey. It's been sold out everywhere for the last 3 days, 4 days, whatever it is. So it's definitely happening. Mm-hmm. People are getting in for sure. Vic and Akakeek, what's up?
What's up, brothers?
Hey, man.
So, this is how I feel about where we are right now. When I was a kid, I used to really enjoy watching Mighty Ducks 2. Grant, and I've heard you talk about this before, and I know you were a fan of that show back in the day. And I just enjoy watching. I didn't know nothing about hockey, but I enjoy watching the Mighty Ducks win because I was a fan of the movie. What I feel like now is we have our Gordon Bombay. And we have Gunnar Stahl. He just throws footballs.
Oh.
So I enjoy watching us play football just from that perspective and play it well and do it right. And I use the Gordon Bombay analogy because, remember, Gordon had to have a come-to-Jesus moment, have a reflection on his coaching. And our organization was able to do that and bring in a coaching staff as a whole that can really reflect on how we are preparing the players that are going on the field that the fans want to love and the fans want to be enthusiastic and excited about. And that's the biggest difference I see. We have better coaches. We have better coaches because we have a better organization. And that's what I've said since I've called in the radio for over 10 years. We did not have good coaches, period. the conversations that we wanted to have, the conversation that we wanted to have, or the thoughts that we wanted to convey about the play and about the product, it wasn't going to matter until we had good coaches. Because good coaches would then put us in a position to say, if we're not doing something well, we can fix what we're doing bad. And if we're doing something well, we can continue to do it because we do the little things.
Yeah, this staff is better and is doing a better job. And I think it's easier to endorse a product when you know ownership cares a little more about your happiness.
Such a huge thing.
The GM actually gives you a chance to be sustainably good and knows what he's doing. You're endorsing. It's like anything. You're opting into, what am I giving my money to? What business? What kind of, what's their MO? What are they about? What kind of people run it, right? The coaches, you if it's bad, that means it'll be bad every week because they can fix it. The last guys didn't know how to fix it, right? So I think there's something to that.
100%.
Do you guys find yourselves already halfway through this season coming around and being more into this team than you've been in a while? That's the question on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Commanders are a first place 6-2 team. The only thing standing between them and a 7-2 record, which is unheard of around these parts, is a bad Giants team. I met a guy last night at the Caps game. By the way, they're also 6-2. If you're a DC sports team and you're pretty good, you're 6-2 right now.
Weird.
But the guy at the Caps game last night said, yeah, I just bought myself a Jaden Daniels jersey. And he kind of was like ashamed to admit it. I'm like, what are you ashamed about? In fact, Danny, I just got an Instagram post. Someone slid into the DMs and sent me a picture in my DMs of a hoodie they just bought. They said it's the first gear they have purchased in 20 years.
Mm.
It is a black Commanders hoodie. It says Commanders on it in yellow. It's like the one you always wear, actually. Although yours, I think, is Washington football.
Yeah, mine just says Washington on it.
But it is a black hoodie with like yellow letters like yours. It says Commanders. It's the version of that when they changed the name, I guess. But he said, this is the first thing I bought in 20 years. I think there's a lot of people like that this week.
There's a billion people like that. Again, I was trying to use this as sort of a litmus test, but at my son's schools, he went to school in D.C. for years and now is in our neighborhood now, and you never saw it. Period, end of story. You saw Messi jerseys, you saw international soccer players. You're now seeing Washington gear. You see it.
And I'm not just asking, I don't think Danny's just asking right now, like, are you buying merch, which can be part of this for sure. But do you find yourself more likely to watch a game than you were 2 years ago? More likely, say, to listen to us breaking the team down on a Wednesday than you did a year or two or four ago? Mm-hmm. Is your fandom increasing, your passion, your excitement, your energy increasing? Omar's out in Ashburn. What's up, buddy?
Grant, Danny, and company, thank you for taking my call.
Got it, dude.
You got it.
So I've been a fan for a really, really long time, and I just got recently engaged, and one of the little gifts that I got from my fiance was the tickets to the game this past Sunday. And do you guys have a new fan now? She went crazy for the Hail Mary. I was going crazy. And she's a new fan. She listens to you guys now. She messaged me at work actually yesterday saying, hey, I'm listening to Grant and Danny right now. love it. You know, and
amazing.
Like, she followed the Commanders. She followed Jaden. She followed Terry. Like, you guys have a new fan now. So, yeah, that's all for today.
Thank
Appreciate
you, buddy.
You, dude. I mean, those are the kinds of stories, right? Not necessarily, like, us having anything to do with it, but that is the thing. That's how you win people over, right? You give them a great experience. Now, you can't always promise a Hail Mary win at the buzzer, but that great game day, that core memory, it's why I'm a fan, right? Like, when I would tune in, they won. The couple games I got to go to at RFK, they always won. And the place was electric. It was this big family atmosphere. And you came into our house, you're going to get your butt kicked. It was the best feeling. And that's how, to the caller's point, you win people.
Let's go to Brian in Manassas. We were just out in Manassas for our Grant and Danny Friday field trip. By the way, our field trip this Friday will be in Fairfax. We are excited about our next stop. And it's been 2 for 2, Leesburg, Manassas. We're going to Craft House Fairfax on Friday from 2 to 6:30. What's up, Brian?
What's up, guys? Love the show.
Hey, man.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm in my 40s. I remember going to RFK. I loved the team. I've refused to give any of my money to Snyder for the last probably 20, 25 years, give or take. I think the last thing that I bought myself was a Chris Cooley jersey when they had, what was it, the 75th anniversary patch, I think it is. But I went to the Carolina game, and I put a phone call in for season tickets. They did the whole schmoozing thing, got us up there, took us to the game. And I was blown away. It's night and difference between how it used to be. I mean, I haven't been to a game probably in 10 years. Night and day from how it used to be, to the point where I went ahead and bought the rest of this season tickets so that I could be in line for next year.
Oh, wow.
Because I brought my wife with me. She never really cared. I mean, I watched the games, don't get me wrong, and I listened to you guys, but I did it out of misery. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly. It's spite. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, or out of habit. You know, you did it because mom and dad sat you down like me.
Yeah, I'd hate watch those Rivera games where I'm like, I get mad at positive plays. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
Exactly. And it's funny because before we went to the Carolina game, my wife would watch me watching the games when we're winning. And she's asking me, are you okay? Because we're winning. And I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know to cheer. I didn't know if it was going to go, you know, sideways at the last second or what was going to happen. That's just what we're used to. And
so, but you got season tickets for the rest of the year.
I did. And my wife is now a fan. She could care less about him beforehand. She's now a fan. My kid, who never really cared about football, now all of a sudden he's a fan.
That's the other thing I get fired up about.
Yep.
And I'm experiencing that a little bit in my own life with my two kids. Now, it's not nothing to do that they hated, you know, the fact that they lost or anything. They're just coming of age at a time where it's, you know, I don't want to get, like, deep on this, and everyone's going to say it's cheesy or whatever, but, like, it was not a fun thing for me to think about introducing them and making this part of their life.
Uh-huh.
It is not a healthy, fun thing. It has not been for me for a long, long time. And in fact, when Dan Snyder was still the owner, there's a toxicity to it and an opt-in. You know, we were talking earlier about the Yankees fan and how that guy's going to be famous for doing the wrong things and acting like an idiot and going to get a lot out of that now because society is a bunch of silly geese. Well, I'm opting in every week to putting money in Dan Snyder's pockets. You know, my entire gig is basically creating interest and having people get more into what Dan Snyder's doing. And do I want to put that on my kids? And you don't have to worry about any of that anymore. You really don't.
Right.
I mean, it's a whole different thing. It's a different name, different, going to be a different stadium, different colors for the moment, different ownership and GM and head coach and quarterback. And you're seeing a lot of the kids opt in and seeing a lot of those videos where the reaction to the Hail Mary, you know, parents are jumping up and down going crazy. They're lifting up their kids, and their kids are in jerseys. Like, that is awesome.
Yes, it is.
Those little tiny fans might actually experience the thing that made my parents, my mom, such a diehard fan of this team. When her and her dad were watching George Allen, or she was eventually grown, watching Joe Gibbs win Super Bowls. So that's why she made me the fan I am. What was the reason for me to do that? I would have done it because I'm a crazy person.
Right.
But I think the average person wouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
You know, like,
opt into this thing that makes me miserable. Come on, son, sit down.
The first time you ever took your kid to a game was at what stadium? Like, that's the whole point.
Uh-huh.
You went to a Ravens game. And you should have, because your kid was going to have a better experience. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's right.
People have been making those kinds of business decisions, speaking with their pocket for a long, long time. And this makes it easier to not do that. I want to get into the experience part. He said he went to the stadium, had such a good time that he bought season tickets. It's not the first time I've heard that.
Uh-huh.
The season tickets part is new, but people having more fun. Is the stadium that different? You know, is the paint and the carpets and the flooring? I'm not trying to knock what they've done. They've done some cool things.
Yeah, they've done as much as they can.
The blackout lights show that they had was a 10 out of 10. There's been a lot of things we could talk about. I think it's probably just that they're 4-0 at home. I think that's a lot of it. I think you get to go watch them blow teams out, and you leave there happier. That's probably a big part of it.
Complicated formula, isn't it?
G&D on the fan. Everybody's jacked up for the Commanders, and they should be. However, we know there are folks around us that may have lost a friend or family member recently. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Kondori & Murad. They'll guide you through the difficult probate administration process to help bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate. Schedule a free consultation with their probate and estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Friday, we are on the road again. This field trip series has been way bigger than we could have anticipated, and we're jacked up about that. Leesburg showed out.
So fun.
One of the biggest events we've done. That was amazing. That was a blast. We then went last week to Manassas, and you guys absolutely answered the bell, did a very nice job coming out, supporting the show. We appreciate that. Next stop is Fairfax. Where is Craft House Fairfax? Palace Way, Fairfax, Virginia. Where is that?
It's by Fairlakes Mall, so you got to go like out a little bit where, I think close to where 1529 had that weird little
intersection. It looked
intersection.
Like Fairfax Corner on a picture to me. Is it in Fairfax Corner?
Sounds right.
All right. Fairfax Corner. We're going to be there on Friday.
We'll be right there.
Live show.
Live.
4.5 hours. Getting ready for the Commanders and the Giants as heavy favorites on the road. Trying to get the boys to 7-2. As the great Marv Levy once said, where else would you rather be than right there, right now?
Right here?
Craft House, Fairfax, stop number 3. It's the Grant and Danny Friday field trip series. Question at hand is your fandom evolving? Do you find yourself opting either back in, getting more in than you were at the start of this football season? I'm more excited for Sundays than I've been in a while. For years and years, the norm for me has been, all right, 4 more days till Sunday, there's a game that day. And now the way I feel is, all right, it's Wednesday, come on, Sunday will be here soon. Let's watch these boys again. Let's see how they do.
Yeah, it was this is an obligation. It's in my blood. I can't quit. If I could objectively remove it from my life, I would have, in terms of my fandom. I mean that. It was as bad as it was, I'm going, no matter what positive happens, Bruce Allen's right over there. No matter what positive happens, Dan Snyder's right over there. Like, and you knew that this was all temporary or fleeting, and it was pointless. You were on a hamster wheel to nowhere. This doesn't feel that way anymore. That's all been removed, and there's a point to this. There's a reason for the exercise, and that optimism is warranted. And the process is good. It's not just good for right now. It's good, and that's the point. Whether they lose this weekend or not, they're still doing the right things, and that means you have a shot. And that's all I've ever asked for, and we're getting it.
Dad, you are a longtime fan of this football team. You didn't quit. You weren't out or anything like that. But how has your fandom changed since week one to now, if at all?
I would say, if anything, my confidence level has increased in the team. I've always been one of those fans that kind of has expected doom and gloom. I'm waiting for the leaves to fall. You know, I'm waiting for the worst to happen. And typically in the last, 10 years, the worst usually happens.
But your energy hasn't really changed. I guess you went to game one. You haven't bought Commanders gear, I don't think. Have you?
I've owned Commanders gear in the last couple of years.
No Jaden jerseys been purchased?
I haven't bought anything new yet.
Okay.
I do anticipate I will at some point before the end of the year, though.
You find yourself getting motivated to possibly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm itching to get to Sundays more than ever now, for sure. I love watching this team now. There's an energy from the team that's infectious to watch now.
I don't know how someone couldn't just be more excited about the product. I mean, to me, that's a given. That is easy, right? It's gone from awful offense, just a slog of a game, watching because you need to, because it's just what you do, to this is must watch. This is the most exciting offense in the league.
Yep.
This group's going to hang 30, and the only question is how are they going to get there? And oh, by the way, the quarterback that everybody in the NFL and everyone not in the NFL is talking about is yours.
You're going to see something special when he plays.
Let's go to John in Manassas. What's up, John?
Hey, nice talking to you guys.
You as well.
Now, I've been a fan. I'm 60 years old, and I've been a fan since day one. And I've lived through the Joe Gibbs years, the Super Bowls, the Super Bowl parties. And when the team got sold to Dan Snyder, I said, okay, we're still there. And I thought Dan Snyder was doing some good things. He bought the balls for the indoor practice. They don't have to go to Dallas anymore. And then we just spiraled downhill. I mean, we went through coach to coach, and we went through, Jim Zorn and then Gruden, and then we got Shanahan. I say, all right, now we're on the right track. We got Shanahan. That was a flop. Then Rivera comes to town. I said, all right, we got it now. We got rid of Bruce Allen. We're going to be on the page. And it was still the same outcome that I just stopped watching the football. Totally. And what put salt to injury is my wife is from Boston, and she's a big Patriots fan.
They're just in the Super Bowl every minute. Yep.
Yeah. And it was driving me absolutely nuts.
Well, how about this year?
I'm very happy this year so far. I got a little nervous at the beginning of the year when they're putting everything together, and everybody was talking about Coach Johnson from Minnesota coming. He's going to be the savior. And he turned the job down. I said, oh, God, here we go. And they brought Dan Quinn in. I have to admit, he has done a phenomenal job.
It's been awesome.
Awesome job. And I told my wife, I said, unless the Commanders are up 40-0, I am not going to watch it because I know they're going to blow it. And that hasn't happened, and I'm finding myself watching more and more of them. I actually sat down and watched the whole game Sunday. And I'm thrilled. I went out and got a Jaden Daniels Commander shirt. It should be in today, matter of fact.
Nice.
Love it.
Appreciate
Thanks,
the
dude.
Call.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got that. Everyone did that. Okay, now this is the time. Okay, now this is the time. Now this is it. I mean, the one that broke me forever believing again was the Shanahan time. That was the, okay, now we honestly have an adult in the room. Whether I agree with the decision or not, at least it's thoughtful. And when it didn't work there either, I said, I don't care who they bring. It's never going to work, period, end of story, with this guy and this boobery that surrounds him. Everybody had that breaking point. And now we're all kind of slowly emerging from our cocoons, man.
Let's go to Andy, who's in the district. How do you find your fandom changing as this season goes on?
It's growing every day. I mean, it used to be my brother and I would talk about the game nonstop, even in the middle of the game. And then the last couple of years, we barely spoke regarding how they were playing. Now, we've been talking since Sunday to even today about the game because that's how much we enjoyed it. But for me, it was the experience. You know, you were talking before one of the breaks, you know, what about your experience? To me, when Dan Snyder came in, he went and he changed the environment of the whole stadium. It went from being a football environment to being a commercial environment where he would sell any and everything he possibly could. And again, I was always surprised that the cheerleaders didn't have jerseys with billboard advertisement on it because he would try to sell that if he could. You know, and I just got tired of it and I stopped going.
Have you gone back this year?
No, I haven't gone back this year. My brother moved out of he's moved down south, and so I have a hard time finding anybody else interested because, again, like you said, a lot of people lost interest. Yeah. I mean, when we had season tickets, you know, I could find 5-6 people to go.
Oh, it used to be so easy.
Yeah, it was like winning the lottery. One of your friends goes, "Dude, I got a ticket for you."
So I joke about this a lot, but you know, I've told you. So the wife and her brother are season ticket holders together, and they're as part of this group. Well, back even as recently, I'd say, as 15, 16, right? Like the Cousins, Jay Gruden years, they would have as many as 35, 40 people at their tailgate. Everyone would bring something. Hey, I'm stopping at Popeyes. Hey, I'm grabbing donuts. Hey, I'm, you know, going to bring the grill. I'll throw burgers on the grill, whatever. And they would have 30 people easy, often upwards of 40 people at every game. And then since then, little by little, it was 25, 20, 15, to the point where it got to be like legit sad. There would be 3 to 5 of them sitting around in chairs. Someone brought the donuts, you know, someone brought the cupcakes, you know, but you only need to bring 4 or 5 because there's only 5 of us. Their tailgates, the last 2 home games, are back up to like 40 people. I mean, it was really legit fun going and stopping by and seeing them the other day. And they're kind of back with a big group, and a lot of the people are coming back to the stadium. But you know, the caller before the top of the hour had mentioned a point where he's like, I had so much fun at the game, and it was such a better experience that I bought tickets. Do I think that they have done a better job getting people in and out from a traffic standpoint? Yeah, I think they probably have. I think there have been adjustments made that work. I go there to every single game. I will tell you that going to one of the home games this year, I want to say it was the Browns game, was the longest it has taken me to get into my specific parking lot. That's just my anecdotal evidence. That's just my little thing. I'm not saying that's everybody, but that was one game where over any other year at any other point, it took me like an hour to go down Garrett A. Morgan Boulevard to get in, right? Leaving the game after the Hail Mary the other night was the longest it has taken me to get out of the stadium. I think it's because more people stayed till the end, and then more people, I have to go do my media stuff and go to the locker room and do all that stuff after the game. More people, I think, were just hanging around than normal. It was the longest it has ever taken me to get home from a game. So I'm not saying the traffic is getting worse or anything like that. What I am saying is to say that traffic is way better or parking and all that stuff is way better is probably not that true. My point is, though, if you went to that game, watched that Hail Mary, walked out hugging your buddies and buying your jersey. Then you sat and you know, had another drink or in the parking lot eating or whatever, and then got in your car. Then the traffic wasn't as annoying as if you just lost 27-13.
Yep.
Right? And I think that is a huge part of this. They have made valiant efforts. I went on a stadium tour. I saw a lot of the work they've done. It's incredible. Just the want to, what a little effort can do. We're quite literally a fresh coat of paint. Quite literally flooring. The press box is newly painted. Nicer seats to sit in that are more comfortable. Easier on your back. There's new carpet. It smells new, right? All of these things are just, it's not cheap. I mean, they spent a lot of money.
Sure.
But they're easy enough fixes that are aesthetically pleasing that make it a slightly better experience. So I'm not saying there was no effort. The speakers have been massively upgraded. You can hear the PA a lot better. It's very loud now. It feels like a newer stadium in that regard. The light show that I talked about the other day.
Uh-huh.
Sick. Did you see my video of this?
I did. I've seen the video, yeah.
Yeah, I posted it at Greenwich Pulse. I'm sure it's all over the place, but you could look it up. They did this light show where in the stadium, the lights go out and everyone's like, oh my God. Power outage.
Oh, it's happening again.
Same old FedEx. Like, this is going to be embarrassing, whatever. And then after, like, a split second of it just being completely dark, with, like, the beat, there's a light show that happens in the stadium, college football style. LED lights, new infrastructure that they, like, mm-hmm. the Nats have to do their home run, you know, lights. That kind of stuff's cool. But I refuse to believe a lot of it isn't just that you're having more fun. If you come to my house for a party and it's lame, and it, you know, the food isn't good, and no one's laughing, no one's enjoying themselves, and it's awkward, and it's small talk, you might not want to come back as much as if you come to my exact same house a week later, and we have we just throw down and have the best.
The kegger of all keggers.
This is the greatest party ever.
Uh-huh.
These parties are getting more fun.
Yeah, I mean, to the caller's point, I only got to go to a couple games at RFK Stadium over the years. Think about that. Like, I couldn't go, not because I didn't want to. There was no way to get tickets. You had to know somebody. And like, somebody had to, like, I remember one game I got to go because my dad's buddy was having, like, nose surgery or something. It was like, yeah, sorry about that, but we'll take your tickets. You know what I mean? Like, we wanted to go, but we couldn't. Now, you know, over the last couple of decades at Nubs Field, people are begging you, will you please go with me? I got these $4 tickets in the seventh row off StubHub. Will you please go? And people don't want to. There's no buy-in. There's no reason to. And now you hear everybody's getting that experience, right? Where you go to this restaurant and the food is great, the service is great, you didn't have to wait too long, and the atmosphere is awesome, and you go, I think I want to go back and do that.
Let's go to Joe in Arlington on the fan. Hey, Joe.
Hey there. Yeah, I think the answer to your question depends on why one became disaffected to begin with. Obviously, the folks that are back in, you know, got frustrated with the dysfunction and losing, and now that's a better team, sure. My issue, and I know there are others out like me, I was a season ticket holder for when the stadium opened until they changed the name. When they changed the name, I was a hardcore Redskins fan. When the Redskins name was changed, the emotional connection was severed for me. And also the people I keep in touch with that were former ticket holders that kind of have the same feeling. So, no, I'm not getting back in. I don't even really watch the games anymore because I just don't care. It's not my team anymore. And I don't, you know, maybe if they had handled the branding differently and kept the legacy somehow, but they didn't do that.
So, Joe, let me ask you this, because we've heard from you, and I appreciate your perspective, because mm-hmm. I don't think you're alone. I think you represent
there definitely are some,
a lot of people, frankly. So Sunday, were you watching the game when that Hail Mary was thrown?
No, I can't say that I was.
Okay.
I mean, I watch Caps games and Nats games.
Gotcha.
As a football team, I've lost interest.
Do you watch other NFL games? Like, will you watch football, or are you not as big an NFL fan?
I was much more a hardcore Redskins fan than a general NFL fan.
Okay.
If I'm hanging out in a bar and the game is on the screen, I'll watch it, but I don't make it a point to check out all the games.
My point is, though, when you heard about the Hail Mary finish or whatever, there was no intrigue, there was no attachment in any way. It didn't move the needle for you at all.
I can't say that. I've seen replays of it, sure, but I can't say it excited me or whatever. I'm just kind of numb to it because
sure, it's like a different team.
Yeah.
It's I always used to joke, and this is obviously not the case anymore. But when the Nats originally moved to D.C. So this would have been, 05? I was in high school. I was a diehard Baltimore Orioles fan. And people would always ask me early on those first couple years, what is your fandom of the Nats like? I said, I don't have any. I'm like, well, what do you mean? You're from D.C.? I said, yeah, but they just came here. I have a team. And at that time, I would have assumed I would have just died a diehard Orioles fan who never cared about the Nats.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I always described it is, I would jokingly say, they are the Milwaukee Brewers to me. I don't have any negative affinity toward the Washington Nationals. The ballpark at the time, RFK Stadium, now I was from King George, so I had to get on a metro and go up to the games or whatever, and it was a terrible ballpark. But I would go to several games a summer. I would go to more Orioles games, but I would go to a game, and I'd watch the Nats and say the, you know, the Reds or whatever. But I would just say they're the Brewers. It's just another Major League Baseball team. The fact that they're from D.C. does not resonate for me in any way. But you're a D.C. sports fan. You're right, and they never existed, and I have no affinity to them. I did not just immediately flip the switch. I would say as recently even as like 2012, the worst year, I watched that. I thought it was cool from afar. I was not really a diehard Nats fan. I was not on doing this show yet where we talked about the Nats every day, which started to change it where we're in the clubhouse and getting to meet all the guys. I was still like watching the Orioles every single night primarily. But my point in saying this is I can relate to the idea of even though they're in your backyard, different for him because he once loved them. Like he's just when he sees that Hail Mary, he sees the Bengals throwing a Hail Mary.
Yeah, just sees some team. It's like it's like a stranger.
And it makes it easier when they're wearing black and yellow, by the way.
Yeah.
Because that's quite literally not your team.
Right. It's not a great analogy here, but it's like you have amnesia in your home and this woman's like, I'm your wife. And you're like, maybe. I don't really remember you. Like, I don't really know you. So.
My daughter, true story, gets out of bed. You can relate to this, parents.
Uh-huh.
This is like 3 hours after she fell asleep or whatever. And I'm sitting there the other night watching Monday Night Football would have been the Giants and Steelers. And she always does this thing if she runs out of water where she comes over to the steps and she says, Daddy, I need some water and ice. Can you make me water
the
with ice?
Ice in the water.
They love it.
Oh, I'm so annoyed about it.
So I'm like, yeah, sure. One time she finally said to me, because I always, if I'm already upstairs, I'll just go to the sink in the bathroom where she, you know, where they their bathroom.
Sure, sure.
And I'll just get the water and I won't go down and get ice. So the other day she's like half asleep and she's like, and listen up, mister, you don't like going down to get ice. You better go down there and get me ice. I don't just want that water from the sink. I mean, she
giving you what for right there.
Riot act, wow. Right? So anyway, she's like half asleep, groggy voice, leaning over the steps.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, can you get me water and ice? I'm like, yeah, no problem. Let me, you know, bring me your cup. So she meets me halfway at the steps. I'm filling up the ice. She's kind of looking at the TV and she's like, who are the Commanders playing? And I was like, oh, they're not playing tonight. She's like, who's that team? And she's pointing at the Steelers, and they're black and yellow, mm-hmm. in their Commanders jerseys.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, oh, that's the Steelers. She goes, are you sure?
Yeah. Like, you're confused, like, man.
She doesn't know the difference.
Right.
But yeah, that black and yellow team that you
all
saw.
All the tradition of an expansion team.
Let's go to Raymond in Baltimore. What's up, Raymond?
Hey, Grant and Danny, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
To make my afternoon commute more bearable. I'm more... you know, back on the bandwagon. I'm in my late 50s, so I remember the glory years. And just to add a couple of points real quick, what I like about this current team, and I'm pleasantly surprised that they're turning things around so quickly with the rookie quarterback. I thought we'd be maybe about a year and a half away. But this new ownership group, it's a breath of fresh air. I mean, I was about to lose all interest because of the knucklehead with Dan Snyder and all that dysfunction. And, you know, I will definitely buy more merchandise. I haven't. The last piece of merchandise that I bought, only because I didn't want to give my hard-earned money to Snyder, was my treasured Sean Taylor jersey.
But guess what, Raymond? You were not alone. I mean, people just stopped giving the money. Thank you for the call. They did not want him to benefit. And I don't think there was anything wrong with that. And by the way, I think those people in a lot of ways are some of the heroes of the story. Because if that didn't happen and the everything didn't crater and fall
apart. Yeah, it's all part of it, man.
He's still probably owning the team. Tom's in Chantilly. How are you, Tom?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Tom.
I've been listening to you guys for years. First time I've called. So I grew up with my grandfather watching the Reds.
And now go.
Thank you.
Yep.
So I grew up watching it through my grandfather and my father, but never really watched it. At one point, I think I met Del Green. I know I met him. I think I got his autograph. I have no idea what happened to it. I'm going to kick my own butt for that. But as I'm going through high school, just they started not doing so well under Dan Snyder and it became completely disenfranchised. I went to a game maybe 10 years ago with my wife, my father-in-law, and my father. But I haven't been back. As I've had kids and they're growing up, I haven't been making a point to kick them off the TV to watch the game because it just wasn't. I didn't feel it was worth it. The last couple of weeks, I've made it very clear on Saturday, or whenever the next game is on. It's like I am taking the TV. I'm going to be watching it on the main TV in the house.
You guys go elsewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, you get the laptop, you get the iPad.
You get that second screen.
It's not worth that fight a little bit, isn't it? Ken Stafford, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
My name's Ken, but they did great. I mean, I tell you what, I'm excited about this team. This team is like 6-2. Unbelievable. But I was at the game. I actually sat right below where London Fletcher was. The electricity in that stadium when that Hail Mary was caught was just outrageous. And it's got me pumped for Sundays.
I mean, you feel that energy, and you haven't felt it there in so long. I think you probably could tell through the TV, Danny.
But oh, my God.
But there is there is no commercial that Jason Wright or whoever's running the things with him now, this Harris Ownership Group's group, there's no commercial they can make. There's nothing they can do to sell their product better than the feeling after that moment. If they could bottle that and sell it, there wouldn't be a seat to be had until the end of time. Everyone's chasing that high.
Yeah, we're looking to give you that experience with that feeling. You know what I mean? Like, and you all know it. You've all seen it. You've been there in the stadium when that great thing happened, right? You've all seen that incredible moment. Maybe not one exactly like that with a walk-off touchdown for Washington, but everyone knows that feeling, that instant blast of euphoria, and you chase that for the rest of your life.
Let's give Kendall the last word. I know people have been waiting patiently. Kendall, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, dude.
Quickly. Man, when the lights went off, I was dead. When the lights went off and they saw that light show, that was unreal.
That was sick, dude.
I mean, I just couldn't believe it.
Hey, I know what you were thinking because I was thinking, you're like, no way.
Did you think, oh, no?
You're like, at this stadium, they're doing this? Right. No chance.
Right. Exactly. It felt like Friday Night Lights or Any Given Sunday or something like a movie. And so, yeah, man, I've been a fan since my father sat me in front of the TV, probably 76, 77, the Jack Party days. That's the first I can remember. And so I wasn't going anywhere. But, yeah, you guys know, we've talked for years through this whole Snyder
That's right.
thing. And my enthusiasm level, man, and my disenchantment and my cynicism was it changed. But it did change. When we got that announcement that Daniel Snyder was looking for, it was contacted Bank of America. At some point, the light was at the end of the tunnel. And so once they hired everybody and now, and even when they hired Dan Quinn, and that was like felt like it wasn't our first option, and Kingsbury came with a whole bunch of, he didn't have a lot of success. So, but seeing it now, man, it's surreal. It's just that stadium the other night, man, it you just can't describe it with words. And seeing Jaden do what he does is just absolutely intoxicating, man. So I'm through the roof with excitement for where we're going, where we're at right now, and the future, man. We deserve this. We
Hell yeah.
as fans damn right. deserve this, man.
No doubt.
Appreciate you, dude. November 2nd, 2022. That's 3 days from now, the anniversary.
Not 2-2-22.
No, that's very different. This, by the way, this date in 22, with all due respect to 2-2-22, give me 11-2-22 every time and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, a little bit.
When that little twerp said I'm out.
Big thanks to Money Mental Chris and Darius behind the scenes for their hard work. As always, Linnell's got overtime coming your way next. We're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Remember, on Friday, the field trip, installment number 3, our third stop. We're hitting the road. We're going to Fairfax Corner over at Craft House Fairfax. We'll be there for our entire show live on Friday. Thanks for listening to G&D on the Fan.
Thank you for coming.